webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's Wednesday, hump day, July 21st, 2010. The only July 21, 2010, ever. Welcome in on this Wednesday night. Glad to have you along with us for the ride. This is Glenn Klein online. That's Michael Williams clearing his throat. And we are glad to have you along on this excursion of the midweek edition of GKO. Glad to be with you on this Wednesday night. And a very special Glenn Klein online. Michael, we have much to talk about, much to assess, but the first and foremost question that everybody has every week is, how's the weather in Houston?
We just had one of Houston's beautiful storms, and I'm actually in my bedroom now looking out the window, and after the storm has passed, and the window's a bit foggy from the rain and the heat all at the same time, but it is it's just wonderful. You know, it's Houston. That's why I moved here.
Yes, but you being in your bedroom is way too much information for the people to deal with. They picture you in a studio in some undisclosed location.
It's my bedroom studio.
Okay, fair enough.
There you go.
So we get an email via Facebook today from Germa Colston recommending that a friend of his, or his friends in general, listen to a particular show that was done in April. So, I, being the peruser of the Facebook and a friend of Germa Colston's, I say, okay, what is he suggesting? And so I go there. This was from last April. And I sound like I'm on Quaaludes.
And that's different as to...
No, it was pretty different. I mean, I sounded very mellow, very calm. Well, like over calm.
Okay.
But he was still recommending it to his friends on Facebook, so I thought, how bad could it be?
There you go. But even Glenn at his worst is still good.
Well, I'm not saying it was at my worst. I'm just saying that I sounded like I was on Quaaludes. Now, we have a lot to talk about tonight. We want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. We have a very special evening planned. We may go over the 60-minute allotment. We've got the toll-free number available to you at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. The point that Germa was making on his Facebook was that if you want to see or hear about how the gospel affects people's behavior, and that the gospel cannot be qualified by people's behavior, please listen to this. And we talk about the effect. I mean, quite frankly, we talk about the effect that the gospel has on human hearts and souls, and therefore the way people think, and theoretically, the way people act. But the point that we were making on that particular webcast, and I think the point that we would make, in fact, I know the point that we would make to this moment, is that you cannot verify the truth of the gospel by the way people respond to that message or any message.
Yeah, very true. It's been a hard point to drive home all of these years to break that addiction of qualifying and quantifying the gospel. in someone's life based on changes made in their behavior or in their now I as you know and as we do all the time do share the benefits and the effect that it can have on the heart. However, that is that's very much an individual thing. It's so amazing how that I do not teach a personal redemption, but salvation is a very personal deal. It is not just the gospel alone. It's the gospel and your heart. And the gospel is multifaceted, and the grace of God is multifaceted. And your heart has many different borders that we probably don't even know that we have. And only the gospel can kaleidoscope its way into the heart and work with what it's got. The gospel does not demand that you change. The gospel does not demand or insist that your attitude change or that your perception change.
Does the gospel demand anything?
That's the wonderful thing. It demands nothing. There is no requirement. And the awesome thing is that it can, that without demand, just by you receiving the gospel, it begins to kaleidoscope its way into the heart and begins to take on all different colors and hues and facets and expands itself to the borders of the heart. These two things, the gospel and the heart, were made for each other. If you will, it's the marriage that was made in heaven. And this incredible union of the gospel and the heart of a human being is the connection of what I believe is intuitive knowledge along with gospel truth in a heart that is so multidimensional. And not just multidimensional, it's multidimensional and diverse from every other heart on the face of the earth because of our experiences, because of the things that we have perceived or thought or embraced in our lives, tragedies, wonderful things, all form the borders of our heart. And this is the thing that the gospel is there to do, is to place those borders in a dimension to where that it is that is now fully functional. The gospel makes the heart fully functional. Glenn, there is no such thing as a heart damaged beyond repair in light of the gospel. There is no such thing. The heart can recover. The heart was designed to incur loss, to suffer loss, endure loss, and recover from loss. But it is the gospel that infuses the heart with that incredible ability to recover. My greatest experience in this life with the gospel is the recovery of my heart and the changing of the perimeters of my heart and the borders of my heart. First off, accepting what those borders are. I did not go into this great conflict with myself, but instead the gospel has impressed the daylights out of me. It really has. And the only thing, term that's coming to me right now is kaleidoscope. It has kaleidoscoped its way into my heart and has brought out dimensions I absolutely didn't even know that my heart had. And I think I'll spend the rest of my life discovering my own heart.
Well, speaking of kaleidoscope, that is a great way to describe the humanity that is assembled on this webcast tonight, as it always is. All over the planet on Wednesday night, but specifically tonight, and especially tonight, because in studio we have the very lovely and talented Geo Howell from boldgrace.com. Say hi, George. Well, we didn't hear that.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, we heard that.
There's Hi Sean.
There's George Howell from boldgrace.com from Pennsylvania by way of Treasure Island, Florida.
Beautiful.
We heard him better in Pennsylvania.
Oh, he looks better right now.
I look better right now. I look a lot better right now.
You got to put the mic up to your mouth.
I look a lot better right now.
There you go.
There he is.
And the even more lovely and talented Ms. Kate Benham from Australia. Hi, Kate.
Hey, Glenn. How you going?
But can you believe this? Ladies and gentlemen, we have Kate and George, who you've heard on this webcast on many occasions. We have them in the studio. And, Mike, they all wanted Sean O'Halloran's autograph when they came into the studio.
Love you,
Sean. Don't blame him.
No, he's definitely the star of the show.
I don't blame him at all. I'm going to have to come up with some memorabilia of the gospel and have him sign it for me, too.
No doubt. Sean is a very handsome young man. They were happy to meet him. He was happy to meet them. And this is what we do, ladies and gentlemen. We just bring people together from literally all over the world under the auspices of the blood and the cross of Christ. And we just had a very delicious sushi dinner. You'll be happy to know that you were not invited to that particular gathering.
Yes, I am. I'm sorry, I have to admit what I did. When I realized that you guys were all together, I was so jealous I had to call and interrupt. But the one thing that I was not jealous of was the meal you were partaking of.
No, I know that. But through pure pressure, we got Bonnie Howell to partake of sushi as well. And even George. I mean, I think George even used chopsticks. Is that accurate, Georgie?
Absolutely. I used chopsticks to stab the food with.
He was stabbing.
Stab the food with.
And the husband of Kate Benham, the very handsome and I wouldn't say delicate. I mean, he's not delicate at all. Jeff Benham seemed to be very familiar with the chopstick maneuver. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there, Mike. Apparently, I'm just a little bit younger than you, Mike, which is really nice to know. So I respect you as the elder gentleman.
Yeah, Jeff is going to be 57 next week.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. And we know that you are going to be 58 next
yes.
month. So you guys
just
are
about one year difference in our age then.
And then Georgie Howell is in between Jeff and myself.
So we can demand respect, can't we, Michael?
There you go. Yes, commanded and demanded.
You're
That's the only way we're going to get it, though.
You are senior citizens. You guys are the elders, and we will defer to you. But we are also going to defer to the beautiful humans that are listening all over the globe right now. If it's several minutes past 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night, and you're listening right now, that is your cue to call in. Sean is waiting to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. This is a special night. We've got Michael in Houston. We've got Kate and Jeff Benham and Gio and Bonnie Howell in from Pennsylvania in Tampa Bay. And most importantly, we have Sean O'Halloran waiting to take calls at 1-800-436-3260. There's so much to talk about, and I mean, I have to say, at the sushi place next to the Sun Bar, where our studio is here in beautiful Brandon, Florida, we had a mini Gospel Revolution convention. even Mama Dawn showed up, Michael.
Awesome. Yeah, I was on the phone with her and didn't even know it.
I know. Yes, it was a shocker. But she was there, and she admitted that in almost the 300 hours of webcast that we've done in since 2006, that she has not listened to 1 minute of the webcast.
Yes, we have dedicated people around us.
But she's still quasi with me, and she came out to dinner with these beautiful humans from Pennsylvania, from Australia. Kate, where are you guys from? Where exactly in Australia are you from?
Hey, we're from Anglesey, Victoria, so we're down on the south coast there of Australia. Yep, so fairly cool down there, so we're enjoying a summer here.
Is that a hot voice or what? That is awesome.
It's winter time now.
It's winter time in Australia, so they were very happy for the heat here in Tampa, and they have not been disappointed.
By the way, it's totally summer here.
Yeah, you know, I thought so.
So Kate, of course, is the musician and the songwriter and the singer for the Eden in Me CD that a lot of you beautiful humans have partaken of. And she's here to record another CD, her second. And then there's already a third plan. Kate, please inform Michael and the vast audience what the second CD is entitled as well as the third.
Yep, so I think the second CD is going to be called Back to the Garden. And, of course, we realize that going back to the garden is not maybe a possible thing because we've always been there. But I just want to get this out to a broader range of people. And so I just thought that title might be good, might attract some people. I'm being called Back to the Garden, and one of our tracks on the album will be called that also. So that's what this one's going to be called, yeah. And then we're working on our third one also at the moment, which we're thinking will be called Revolution. And we're really excited about that. So it's just as we're progressing in the gospel and progressing in our own wholeness and the evolution of who we are, where our music is expressing that.
I love how you said that, Kate. You said that we're progressing, Michael, in our wholeness.
Yeah.
The wholeness is established. We acknowledge it. We see it. We believe it. But within the framework of the fact that we are whole, and we understand that, there's a progression towards that wholeness. I love how Kate said that.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing that I am so, the one thing that gives us that ability to embrace that too, guys, is the fixed nature, if you will, of the gospel. It is absolutely fixed. And the variables are our comprehension, our perception, and the impact that that has on our hearts and lives. And, you know, with Christianity in its forms, the thing that drove me to suicide was that they told me that the gospel was variable. There was so many variables, I was saved if and but or maybe. So the gospel did not have a fixed view. I didn't have anything fixed on the gospel. There was no fix on the gospel because it was all variable. You know, you're going if this and if you believe, but if you don't, but if you doubt, but if you sin, but the absolutes were placed on me. That if I was really a new creature in Christ, old things would be passed away. Behold, all things would be new. So all of this, it was just turned completely backward on me, and it drove me to three attempts of suicide.
I'm glad you corrected that, because initially you said drove me to suicide, and usually an act of suicide does not allow a person to speak later on a webcast.
Yes, absolutely.
They were attempts.
Yes, they were, and those attempts, goodness gracious! But the fixed nature of the gospel is such a wonderful thing to rely on, and you know, I'm not that fixed object. I'm not that sure object with which God made a covenant. There was two unmovable forces, resulting in an unmovable and unshakable gospel and a kingdom. But you know, I'm kind of this variable here. I've got contradictions, but there is nothing about me that's in contradiction to the gospel. And when the heart grasps that, regardless of your state in life, you're not in contradiction to the gospel, It begins to do work on the heart. It really does.
Now here's the rub, though, Michael, is that we often say, and we are very open in saying, that the gospel does have an effect on human beings, and yet we are also saying that you cannot judge the gospel or the message that George believes, that Bonnie believes, that Jeff and Kate believe, that Kate's done a music album about. We're saying that you cannot verify in any way, shape, or form the validity of that message through people's belief or experience or their actions.
No, absolutely. The gospel is completely self-contained. It does not need validation to be truth. Truth is truth, regardless of just exactly whether or not somebody believes it, embraces it, or the effect that it may have upon them. It doesn't change this incredible thing called truth. And that is the case not only with the truth of the gospel, but anything else that is truth. So therefore, the issue of finding validation of the gospel in a human being, it just is, it just can't be done. Paul said that any of us who measure ourselves against each other, he said, we are of all people most foolish when we begin to measure ourselves, especially when I'm measuring myself against someone else pertaining to the impact of the gospel and who's a true believer and who is not, and whether they're believing the right thing or not. The gospel is self-contained. The gospel is not a source of God's power. The gospel is not a way to get to God's power. It's not an access to God's power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that is that always present variable. The term salvation and the heart and the soul of man, and you just don't know where it's going to be. On any given day, I can identify where the gospel is working in my heart and my life pertaining to certain things, but this is constantly progressive, just like Kate said. We are progressing more and more into our wholeness because we have been made whole by the blood of Jesus.
This is Glenn Klein Online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. We are honored to have in studio with us tonight, in the Bay of the Holy Spirit, the very lovely and talented George Howell, along with his significantly better half, Bonnie. And Kate and Jeff Benham from Australia, they are literally in the studio with me and Sean O'Halloran. And we are taking your calls at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Kate and Jeff on the road from Australia. Bonnie and George on the road from Pennsylvania. Kate, if you had to say, let's say 6 months ago, that you would literally be sitting in the Sunbar studio live with George and Michael and me. Would you ever have bet on that?
No, I would not. This is just such a buzz. And to top it all off, for George to be here, George and Bonnie, that's just so great for us. And I really appreciate all his Facebook entries and his contribution to the Gospel Revolution here. So, yeah, just a buzz to meet them and to go out to dinner with them and spend some time. Yeah, it's been lovely. And to meet you too, Glenn. Yeah, been awesome tonight.
Oh, yeah, I just get the aftermention.
I think George really enjoyed Kate's CD from what I heard. Is that true?
Absolutely. The CD and the words to the CD, Kate, are just... everybody needs to get the CD. You know... Even if you didn't like the music itself, the CD, the words are worth buying the CD for.
Where did you get those words from, Kate?
I guess it all kind of evolved. I actually was still writing it even as we were traveling to Melbourne to record my vocal. So, yeah, just as I was progressing in truth and in righteousness, I guess my my lyrics were changing. So, yeah, and I like everything to be kind of as perfect as I can get it to say what I want to say. So really excited about this next one too, because it's a progression of the first one. So really a lot of the stuff that's written on that first one we wrote a couple of years ago. So this second one I think is more where we're at right now, and even we're writing for a third one also. So it's really exciting.
You sound thrilled. Do you have jet lag?
No, we don't. We had such a long stopover there in Atlanta because our flight got cancelled. So that got over our jet lag problem, which was great. So we went to bed that night. We woke up in the morning. Everything was normal. So we don't have any jet lag. We're feeling really great.
Michael, you have jet lag just going from Houston to Calgary, for God's sakes.
No doubt. No, the Day of the World Traveler for me is kind of in the rearview mirror, and I may be having to do some traveling in the future, but I like being a stay-at-home preacher, so.
We need to learn to time travel, don't you think?
There you go.
That would be
cool.
Who
knows? That may be the next thing around the corner.
I would like that.
Hey, Mike, I'm... You know, we're not going to get into prophesying thing, but I think you've got a lot of travel ahead of you.
No, come on, prophesy that, brother. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I honestly, it'd be okay. I mean, traveling is, I really have not had a big problem with it. But I tell you what, the one thing that I know I never have a hesitation of, and that is if... we have a meeting scheduled, and there's maybe one other person there, I'm ready to go. It really doesn't make any difference how far it is to get there. I tell you, it's the opportunity to share such good news is it really is a privilege. I really do feel extremely, extremely fortunate and privileged to be able to share such a wonderful message with people. I'm definitely very fortunate to be able to do that.
As Kate is, as George is, as I am, as many people are on, I've got a series of emails that were initiated by Victor Brennan in front of me from Calgary. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, you think about all the people around the world. We've got a new gospel revolutionary named Marcus Roos. Have you read any of his stuff, George? Marcus Roos.
Oh yeah, yeah. Is it it's Marcel, isn't it?
It's Marcel.
Marcel, yeah, absolutely. by the way, Marcel, congratulations on that new bike.
Mazel tov, Marcel. I have no idea what.
Check out his Facebook, you'll see.
What that means. But I know he recommended the webcast, which I thought was a beautiful thing. Of course, people all over the globe, including Brian Foley in Ireland and Lee Lau in Hong Kong and Pep Washburn in Wisconsin, Greg Ambergy in Cincinnati, Kate and Jeff Benham from Australia, Bonnie and George Howell from Pennsylvania, and this man online, our senior correspondent from Fort, what is it, Mount Vernon? Not Fort, Mount Vernon, Ohio?
Mount Vernon.
That's correct. Mr. George Najjar is online. Hey, George. Welcome, George.
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing?
George, we're having a gospel revolution fit is what we're having.
Two Georges on one show. I don't know if we can stand it.
It'll be confusing, but we've got to work through it.
We can. I'll be quiet.
Oh, no. We need to hear you. How you doing, George?
Okay, Georgie. How you doing, brother?
All right, I have to testify right now, and I have to confess that George and I had a conversation earlier this evening. And, Georgie, I let you have it pretty good, didn't I?
I saw a side of you that I've never seen before.
Right, and so now have Jeff and Kate and Bonnie and George, and which is a good thing. Michael has seen every side of, well, not every side of me, almost every side of me, and pretty much every side, but not quite every side. But you did see a side of me that you never saw before, and I have to say, in response, I felt no condemnation or judgment on your part.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good. No, I actually respect what you say. That's why we talk. And so, yeah, I mean, I had to hear you out. I had to hear you lambaste me.
I bury
me under the rug.
Michael, I lambasted George and Jarve.
Well, now, George, if you need somebody to condemn him, I'll take up the cause here. So.
All right.
which would not be a first time. Which would not be a first time.
Well, I guess we can't condemn him to hell because he could make his own.
And have done so on many occasions.
Yes, mm-hmm. We've all done
who
that.
Hasn't? Okay, so I'm calling for a reason.
Excellent.
I really, Michael, the topic at the beginning of the show fascinates me because the gospel, at least for me, the gospel causes me to take full responsibility for myself.
Yes.
I can't pray to an external deity. I can't hope, that something's going to occur. I can't have faith enough that something is going to occur. The only thing I'm left with is me and what's inside of me.
Absolutely.
To make something happen, if I want it to happen.
Yeah.
Some people just have things come to them, which is a wonderful thing, and that happens to me as well. But just the idea of what the gospel really is and trying to quantify it, of course, we know Paul quantifies it quite well, but trying to quantify it today as I guess, preachers of the gospel, as teachers of the gospel, one of the greatest things is that it does cause you to take responsibility for yourself. And I've seen that in the lives of people that I've talked to, is they've gone from a fantasy world, and really, there was one lady that actually is on medication and has gone from a dark, self-condemning world to a much brighter place. I'm not saying she's totally cured or healed of anything, but she is daily you could see a difference in her countenance, in the way she lives. I mean, you could see it in me when I made my change. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's the whole case. I think that the shift from Christianity to the gospel, if I might be so bold to put those in a logical comparison. The difference between Christianity and the gospel is the transition of faith pertaining to circumstances to faith pertaining to identity. I think the entire gospels and the teachings of Jesus lead us to the drastic conclusion is that we have no faith. There is no such thing as a human being having faith to change circumstances or to change things. To believe is yet still, though, a very powerful force and a very powerful thing.
To believe
and,
in what?
To believe in what
is a powerful thing?
It is powerful in the ability to accept your identity, which the most important thing about an individual's identity is that they are able to take responsibility for themselves. There is no identity outside of personal responsibility. You're giving away your identity. That's the reason that I would prefer in a difficult situation, even though I might want to prove my point, the bottom line is I will take responsibility rather than prove my point, just so that I can have the power in the situation, over the situation, myself.
Yeah, but I think, Michael, and this is very germane, is that George is asking, what do you have? Do you have faith in yourself, or that was which was produced in yourself, or do you have faith in something that is exterior and separate from yourself?
No,
there's a lot of feedback.
Not.
I don't know if you guys are hearing this, but there is a lot of feedback.
Yeah, I'm hearing feedback. I'm having trouble hearing.
Well, we have a lot of people in the studio, George. You're going to have to just cope. Somebody.
Yeah, cope, will you?
Who is that?
Don't you worry about it.
No,
it's your conscience.
The webcast is coming back into the broadcast. Is what's happening.
Yeah, that's all right. That was George Howe yelling back at us. Matt, turn down your computer. Matt Perry is also online, but his computer is on and we can hear him.
Oh, we're hearing Matt's computer. I bet. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's what it is. All right. Well, let me finish this then. No, the fact of it is that we are. It is strictly belief in yourself. Because that the only way that you can honor Christ, the only way that you can honor God, is the very same way that Jesus honored God, and that was to believe what God said about him. When Jesus went to the cross, nobody believed in Jesus but Jesus.
That's true.
Nobody believed in Jesus but Jesus. So now here we get to this end of it. So what are we supposed to do in putting the power of this gospel in its effect in our life? Are we supposed to see how well we can believe in Jesus? No. The powerful thing about the gospel is that you are now empowered to believe in yourself. Because whatever it is that we need, it is wrapped up in our identity as to who we are and what we are, and the reservoir of all that we are and all the of whatever the gifts or the talents and abilities that we have are wrapped up in the ability to accept our identity. So it is not a faith and a belief even in Christ. It is a faith and a belief in ourselves. What God has said about us.
Right. Yeah.
It's a faith and belief that what Jesus has done, that is our identity. That's who we are.
Because of what has been produced in us vis-a-vis our relationship with God through Christ. This is nothing of our own. This is not humanistic at all. I mean, it sounds human.
No.
It sounds humanistic.
Yes.
But it is a choice that God made to redeem all humanity and produce the perfect Christ, the perfect anointed one, in every single human being that's ever been born.
Well, I would say this is why it fascinates me, because this kind of ties in with our, you know, our identity as human beings and who each little individual is and, you know, where we come from and so on. You know, 2 Timothy gives us a little idea. I think it's verse 7 or 9, says that we were with God before the world began. Well, were we separate from God, or were we in his mind? No, what I'm simply saying is here we are discussing the gospel as a I don't know if it's a means or if it's an understanding and enlightenment, and it's all wonderful. But for me, I believe that I am the power of the gospel. I believe that in me is all the power of the entire universe. Jesus said himself that the kingdom is within. So why am I looking somewhere else for power? And why am I looking somewhere else for my identity? My identity is God.
Absolutely.
If I was with him before the world began, and I was maybe a thought in his mind, and he said to his own mind, he says, okay, who wants to have a human experience? And just like in a classroom, we raised our hands and said, oh, I do. And he said, okay, you. And we went and had a human experience. And this is just maybe a mental game I play, but I mean, this is what I get out of what I read in 2 Timothy. And if this is the case, then our identity is God. And we are showing God something on this earth. The creation is subject to darkness, not willingly, but by him who subjects it in hope. Well, are we subject to darkness, or did he subject himself to a little darkness and live through and send us into humanity and say, okay, now have an experience and come back to me with a prophet? This is just, I don't mean to cross anyone's religion, but the gospel to me tells me that I am God. And I am the power of God. And I'm just here having a human experience for him.
Good preaching, Roberts.
Yes.
Not too much.
No, that dude, you are the man. That's all there's to it.
I have no disagreement with it at all. The thing when we're sharing things like this, this is where that the difference between what other religions share and the gospel is, we're not saying anyone is more God than somebody else.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, see, and that's where these things get off, is people start, if they take those things, you see, if you were to make that statement in any other context other than the gospel, you'd be creating an incredibly self-righteous environment.
And a potentially powerful environment as well.
And I don't feel any condemnation for saying any of it.
No, nor should you. But, I mean, that was Joseph Smith could not have said it better, George.
Oh, you're a sweet man.
All right, bro. Well, listen, I mean, there was a lot to what you said, and we got to move forward and move on.
That's fine.
But thanks for dealing with the feedback. Thanks for sharing, and thanks for persevering.
Okay, I love you guys.
Love you, George.
Love you too, George.
Okay.
I've never seen George Najjar in person. I've seen a picture of him.
Yeah.
I've never seen many people. I've never seen Matt Perry. Matt Perry's online with us. From
yes,
Georgia. Matt!
Hey.
Matt, come on, man. Give me a little...
I hear the enthusiasm and the excitement, but it's not as audible in my little cell phone as it is in your headphones.
Oh, fair enough. Matt Perry online with... Wait a second. We got Matt Perry online from Georgia. We've got George.
We've got George Howell
in the studio.
Hello.
From Pennsylvania. We got Kate Benner and Jeff Benner from Australia.
Hello.
And we got Matt Perry, who have often corresponded with each other via Facebook, but here they are almost face-to-face.
Well, ear-to-ear and mouth-to-mouth. Well, we won't go all the way, but I'm calling in by request. George wanted me to call in, and I need to ask him. I hate to bring it out on the table here, but...
Yeah, you want the steak dinner, I know.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
that it?
That's it.
I told you, brother, as soon as I get down around your area, you got it.
All right. Well, I got a new number now, but I'll let you know what it is.
Wait. You're telling me that Perry only called in because Howell offered him a steak dinner if he did?
No, that's a good point.
No, I offered him a steak dinner a long time ago. He just wanted to make sure that I was still going to pay up.
George was the inspiration. George was the inspiration behind my call, but I really wanted to call and have ask Mike, even though I personally know what the gospel is. We've gotten 45 minutes into the webcast, and there might be some new listeners or some even older listeners who don't know exactly what the gospel is, so maybe we could have that. Even those of us who've been there long and known it, like to have it renewed in our minds.
That is an awesome, awesome question and inquiry. Michael, what is the gospel?
Two things that Paul taught the gospel is. It is the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace. Gospel of Peace, I've always taught, is the cornerstone of the gospel. Gospel means good news. The Gospel of Peace means good news. God's not mad at anybody. Is not and will never be angry again. Will never, ever demonstrate or be seen of any breath of anger from God will ever be seen again since the cross. The Gospel of Peace, good news, the thing the angels got excited about and the thing that the prophets foretold was this declaration of peace that God would make with the entire human race that would never be removed. The covenant of peace would never be removed. In fact, even said that our heritage of that Gospel of Peace is that every tongue that runs judgment, that we are to resoundingly condemn it, because it is our heritage to do so, because our righteousness, which is the entire human race, is of him, saith the Lord. So the Gospel of Peace is the gospel, and the other portion of this magnificent gospel is called the Gospel of the Grace of God. The Gospel of the Grace of God took everything and turned it on its head, and says we do not get what we do deserve, which is incorporating the Gospel of Peace, but also reveals that we do get what we don't deserve, which is absolute redemption without merit, without our faith, without our participation whatsoever. By the grace of God, we have all been redeemed.
I love it. God help me, I love it.
That is the gospel.
Matthew.
That's not the one I was taught originally, but that one makes a lot more sense. And as little as I read the Bible, when I do read it, that's the one that just pops right up in my face every time.
That's awesome, Matthew.
It's all over the Bible.
Hey, Matt, can I ask a question?
It's going to be right there.
George has got a question for you, Matt.
Go ahead, George.
Okay, you said you don't read the Bible that often. Is there a reason for that anymore?
I guess a lack of guilt and a lack of personal necessity.
I like that answer.
Oh, that's good.
Now, I do run to it, you know. I'm put in the corner. It'll get me out of it, but...
I'll tell you, you know, beautiful humans, get on Facebook and go to the Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution and see Matt Perry and request him as a friend. It will be worth your while. If you are on Facebook, you will never laugh harder and think harder than when you see a comment from Matt Perry. Matt!
Yes?
Thank you.
All right. See you.
Thanks, Matt.
Peace.
Bye.
There's a good gospel revolutionary, Matt Perry. This is Glenn Klein Online. I can tell you right now we're going overtime on this Wednesday night edition of GKO. We've got Kate and Jeff Bennett from Australia and George and Bonnie Howell and Sean O'Halloran in studio in the Bay of the Holy Spirit on this Wednesday night, July 21st. It's historical. We're going to go overtime. We've got some emails. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. Sean O'Halloran waiting to take your call, and we will return with more of the gospel and Michael Williams in 60 seconds.
Folks, the world was not, quote, going to hell because of what the world did. The world was going to hell because of what somebody else did. The preaching of the gospel makes no one righteous. It reveals the righteousness that you already have. The reason the blood of Christ only covers transgressions under the First Testament is because that's the only place where transgression existed. Everyone has been made righteous. But you've got righteousness you didn't ask for, righteousness you didn't even believe for. You might say, well, I'm an atheist. Well, welcome. You're an atheist that's on your way to heaven. This is clear, sound doctrine in every Bible school that is on the face of this planet that teaches any form of Christianity.
The statements you just heard are from the Northern Midwest Conference in the teaching series, Spiritual Understanding, the Knowledge of God. James Pep Washburn writes, Tonight was probably the most powerful presentation of the real gospel that I have ever heard. This is no exaggeration. The guy was absolutely firing on all cylinders tonight. He was in afterburner mode. No loose ends. Amazing. This 3-CD series is available for $24 plus shipping and handling, or in a downloadable audiobook for $12. Order your copy of the CDs or download at GospelRevolution.com today.
That is the address, GospelRevolution.com, for all the latest information about this so-called movement. What do you say, Michael, to somebody that says we're involved in a movement?
Well, I don't disagree with being involved in a movement. It is it's definitely moving, and it moves people's hearts, and it's moving in a specific direction.
All right, here's the definition, beautiful humans. It is a spiritual rights movement. If you want to know what we're involved in, it's not a gospel revolution movement. It's not a grace movement. I think Gurma said that there was something called radical grace, and I corrected him, and I said, Gurma, there's no such thing as radical grace. There's only grace.
Yeah.
I said, everything else is radical. And he gave me a big LOL on Facebook. This is not a grace movement. This is not a gospel revolution movement. This is the rights of all human beings. This is where the rubber meets the road. We've come across where, Jews are not slaves anymore. That was a while ago. That was in Egypt. We've come across where people of color should not be enslaved. We've come across where women, like the beautiful and talented Bonnie Howell and Kate Benham, should not be. Hey, you guys, are you still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Oh, okay, good. You guys should not be enslaved anymore.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You should not be the property. We've come this far and said that gay and lesbian people are equal with the rest of humanity. But here's what we're saying. Because we know that all those groups of people that we just named, Michael, would not agree with this statement, is that everybody, regardless of national origin, racial context, sexual orientation, religious faith, or lack thereof, we're saying in the spiritual rights movement that everybody, everywhere, regardless of their faith, regardless of their background, regardless of their lack of exposure, their lack of faith, everybody, when we say everybody, we mean everybody. Everybody is equal in the eyes of God. And if that's a movement, that's a movement I can get behind.
Yes, absolutely. It is a freedom. It's a spiritual right, and it is the right of every human being to know that they are righteous and holy and perfect in the eyes of God. And, that really is my goal. I've thought a lot about our last broadcast off and on. In fact, just had a conversation with a new friend just earlier. And, this whole thing about finding a generation who is not a terminal generation. Every generation since the cross has been a terminal generation. And to think that we could produce a generation that is not a terminal generation of thinkers, that these people are thinking beyond their own generation. And we kind of broke past that with the, I think that became very clear in the last part of me speaking my passion about the generations to come. And my heart hears the voices of generations 500 years from now, pleading with us to get this right and to share this gospel, because we have got to start in incurring generations that are not a terminal generation. And we are now the 51st generation. My generation is the 51st generation after the cross to be a terminal generation.
Yeah, well, you know, you just are old. Is all that's all that is.
And glad to be there, too.
All right, so what you're saying is that there's, 2,040 years, basically.
Yes.
Within, you know, a decade or so, where people thought that this was it.
Yes.
And we're saying this is going to go on for not only the foreseeable future, but forever.
Oh, absolutely.
That is our point of view, beautiful humans. That is our inclination, is that nobody, no matter what films come out, no matter what prophecies are had, that this thing is going to go on forever, not just for the foreseeable future, forever. So, see, when Michael said on the last webcast that we're speaking to generations in 500 years from now, this is not absurd. Now, you might think it's absurd, but when people were living in the 1500s, which we know about their history, we know about people in the time of Jesus' history. They found artifacts from over 2,000 years ago. They found artifacts from over 5,000 years ago. This is not absurd. What is absurd is to think that our little generation somehow has some special place in the history of God, that this is it. This is the epitome of self-aggrandizement, Michael.
Oh,
it is. The epitome of selfishness and of egotism. And one of the beautiful things that I have to say on this particular Wednesday night in July of 2010 is that I have human beings who have some concept right here in the studio that they are not the center of the universe, that we are a small blip on the radar screen. I've got Jeff and Kate Benham. I've got George and Bonnie Howell. And I've got Sean O'Halloran right here with me. And I've got you in Houston. I've got Jeff Robertson listening. I've got people all over the planet listening right now, both live and online. I've got Matt Perry. I've got George Najjar. I don't need anything else. But I do have other emails to get to. Kate, are you still with me?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh,
hello.
Oh, my God, do I love you. That's not right.
I love you, too.
I know. I love you, too, Jeff. Don't worry. Jeff Benham, I mean, Jeff's a hippie. Have you seen a picture of Jeff Benham yet, Michael?
Yes, I have.
He's a hippie freak.
Awesome.
He's about your age, but he's hippie. He actually has hair still.
Now, we should introduce him then to our Wisconsin correspondent then.
I know, I know. He and Pep, they both got the ponytails and the gray beards rocking. All right, we got emails. I want to get a comment from you. I want to get a comment from Kate and Jeff and George. Hey, George, give Bonnie the microphone for a second. We have not heard from Bonnie tonight.
Hold on just a second. She's coming.
Bonnie?
Hey, how are you?
Have you been listening?
Yes, I have.
How was the sushi? That's what I want to know.
I loved it.
And she mastered the art of the chopsticks.
For about 3 minutes.
You did good.
Thanks.
I was very proud of you. There is George Howell's significant, but we've never heard her before. We've heard George. George actually was the only webcast I think you've ever missed, Michael. George was on, and I was in an undisclosed location in Wisconsin with
Cliff Hazelbaker.
Cliff Hazelbaker. Thank you, George, who has now passed away.
Right.
And we have dead people on our webcast,
awesome.
On the archive. Yeah.
You know the wonderful thing about Cliff, you know, Mike, when you went through what you went through before you found out that it wasn't malignant, he went through it with the same attitude you did. It's like, okay, this is something new. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And then he died.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Nobody gets out alive. Sean, I'm telling you, nobody gets out alive.
But we're not all going at the same time.
No, we're not. Unlikely. It's unlikely. All right. So, Kate, are you back online?
Hey, yep, I'm here.
Oh, there's Kate. All right, this question is for Kate via the email. Actually, it was via the toll-free line. Jackie Bernard from Manchester, Tennessee. You guys are going to Tennessee, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, we are. We'll be up there on Sunday to start recording on Monday. Yeah.
In Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. All right, so here's Jackie Barnard's from Manchester, Tennessee's question. Kate, please expand on the lyric in the song that says, "All the world is waiting for humanity to rise." He loves the CD and listens over and over.
Wow. Thank you, Jackie. And, like, we're just so looking forward to seeing you. And I know now your plans have changed. We might not be able to do that. But thank you so much. That's it. Such an encouragement. Yeah, I just think the whole planet is just waiting for humanity to wake up to their true identity, that we are all Christ, that we are all God. You know, that's what we're waiting for. People want to see global harmony. People want to see world peace. That's what we're waiting for, is for the heart of man to change, to see that our true identity is the Christ. Yeah, does that answer your question?
It answers my question, but Michael, I love the question. I love the answer. All the world is waiting for humanity to rise. We know from, and I was just listening today to one of your teachings, that we all were risen in Christ when he rose from the dead.
Yeah.
And yet, Kate's song says we're waiting for humanity to rise. And she makes a very good statement that we are waiting.
We are.
But as she also says, we're waiting for humanity to recognize their identity that has already been assigned.
Yeah, and you know, this is like a resurrection from the dead, because it is it is a resurrection from religious bondage. And it really is the resurrection that was spiritual that took place 2,000 years ago. There is of the heart of mankind, as Kate very aptly put it, the world is waiting for this resurrection out of religion and to cast off the chains and the bondage and the grave clothes of religion, if you will.
They are waiting
for the same way that we've had this happen to us spiritually. Now, this spiritual fact is ready to turn into an experience here on this planet.
We are waiting for the manifestation of that which has already occurred.
Absolutely.
Theoretically, before the foundations of the earth.
Absolutely.
And here is the sign of this. If you beautiful humans follow the Facebook at all, you know that I posted a reference from Glenn Beck that he just did last week, less than a week ago, in Salt Lake City. The guy is coming unglued. I mean, he is a legalistic, Messiah complex, just twisted individual. Not as far as God is concerned, but as far as reality is concerned here on the planet, as far as this temporal space is concerned. And I wanted to point this out, and I do want to point this out, because this is going to happen. If he continues down this road, it's just a matter of time, and I want people to say, okay, this guy called it out, just so you know that I know that you know that I know that you know that I know that you know that you know. So, and then, yesterday, he's called out in a very newsworthy way. I'm sure it certainly made it across the country, that the woman that was fired by the Agriculture Department of the United States, the reason she needed to be fired was, or to have a forced resignation, was because she was going to be on the Glenn Beck Show. This is our national government here in the United States, where Kate and Jeff Benham are visiting. And Glenn Beck came out online with all this in contrast or in context, and defended this left, some would say radical left woman, from her perspective. Something is happening in the atmosphere. Something you couldn't write this. And there are people, Michael, that are being challenged with their mindset as far as their exclusive, prejudicial, idiotic, even one could say, mindset that has never been challenged before, because we're talking to everybody around the world right now if they want to listen on the World Wide Web. We've got instant communication, and this is changing everything.
Well, it's like the pinto beans are being mixed with the Cheerios, you know. It's just, it really is amazing.
Wait. Did you ever say that in your entire life?
No, I'm
all right,
quite sure Jeff,
write that down. The pinto, wait, Kate, and actually, that would be a perfect description of Kate and Jeff sitting right next to each other right now. The pinto beans are being mixed with the Cheerios.
I like that.
That's all.
That's a song, isn't it?
That's a lyric. That's a lyric that Jim Morrison would be proud of.
You know, there's a lot of power in beans.
It really is true. I mean, you know, when you start seeing things like that, but the challenge is there. You know, it is the gospel is penetrating, and here's the thing: the power of the gospel is because it's being voiced somewhere on the planet. It has a resonating effect, and I really do believe that any place that it is voiced, that its ability, it reaches way beyond what we see its capability. In other words, just because I say it to one person doesn't mean that it is limited between that conversation between me and that person, because the reflection of that gospel or the repetition of that gospel coming from that person to who knows how many and on from there. But we have online right now many people who are participating in and speaking the gospel. But the reverberation of that, you know, throughout the planet, I think really is amazing. And, of course, when it comes to politics, you're always going to find strange bedfellows for sure.
No way, dude. I mean, George Howell and I completely agree on everything political right now.
Hey,
What are you going to say, George?
I'm speechless.
You just say, we'll see if his tongue falls out.
Go
just
ahead.
Just say Sarah Palin for president. That's all I'm here to say.
Let me just say, as I'm almost speechless. Let me just say, as Kate and Jeff are visitors here,
yes,
so am I.
You are an alien in a foreign land, my friend.
I am definitely an alien in a foreign land.
No doubt,
right now.
Down here in the deep south.
Absolutely.
This is Glenn Clyde Online. We're going overtime tonight. We got Michael Williams, Gospel Revolution, Home Office, Houston, Texas. Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your call. We still got time. We'd love to hear from you tonight if you're listening and thinking, should I call, should I not? The answer is you should. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Call us. We've got another email to get to, which I promised to get to. Kate and Jeff Benham from Australia. I still don't know where they're at. Are you guys near Brisbane? Are you near Sydney? Where are you near?
Hey, we're near Melbourne.
You're near Melbourne,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, we're down south in the cold. All right, how awful.
Have you been to the Opera House in Melbourne?
Yes, we have. That's in Sydney.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. Then you haven't been there.
No,
you
not
been
the
to
one in Melbourne, no. That's but the
nice,
one in Sydney,
it's
yeah.
A, it's a nice opera house
mm-hmm.
in Melbourne.
It is.
George and Bonnie Howe, goldbrace.com. That's what we need. Boldgrace.com. Are you laughing, George?
And, oh, that's me.
I know, okay.
Excuse me?
Yeah, whatever. And
yeah,
Sean
exactly,
O'Halloran.
Whatever. Right,
so we're having fun. We want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260.
By the way, Glenn.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting a lot of comments from people on Facebook. They're really enjoying the show you and Mike are putting on tonight.
Yeah, whatever. Kate, would you laugh for me? All right, so here's the... Michael, we're having more fun than we should be allowed to have. We've had a gospel revolution convention, if you will. Yeah, I don't know. All right, so here's a question that we posted on the...
Okay, before the question.
Yeah, whatever.
Listen, we came to Tampa with $100 and the Ten Commandments, and we have no money left, and the commandments are all broken.
Well, you must have stopped at some of the gentlemen's clubs on the way over, Jersey. So that would have taken care
of... No, if you break one, you broke them all.
Oh, that's true. So that would have taken care of everything. All right, are you ready for this, Michael? And I want to get George's take on it. I want to get Connie's take on it. Who's the writer of this? I want to take Bonnie's take on it. I want to get Jeff and Kate's and Sean's take on it. And maybe a nod, and we want to get Michael's take on it. This is kind of like a huge issue. This is a huge issue because there's a lot of people, Michael, that ascend to the grace of God and believe in the acceptance of all. They believe in the redemption of all. But they're still very much believers as well in the sovereignty of God and God being in control. And so Connie writes, this is amongst the thread of emails that went back and forth initiating from Victo Brennan, the host of the Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary, just this last month. She says, I don't understand why people are so hep on having free will. Given a choice, I would take God's love being in control of me than me being in control of me any day. To me, God isn't God if he, God, isn't God. I'm going to say that again. To me, Kate's laughing at me right now. To me, God isn't God if he isn't God. She says, thanks for including me in the conversation, Connie. All right, so this is a great question. This gets to the heart of a lot of issues that people are dealing with right now. The sovereignty of God, praying to God for solutions, praying to God for results, praying for God in an expectant way. And I love how she put it here. She said, Michael, to me, God ain't God if he ain't God.
Well, see, and here's the thing. The religious mindset wants to put God in control of circumstances of everyday life.
She doesn't want to be in control.
Yes, I understand that. But here's the thing, is that God, one of the gifts of the Spirit is self-control. So she can't take the gifts of the Spirit and throw them out the door for her desire to be in bondage. And I will repeat that. What Connie is craving is bondage. She wants somebody else in control of her life, like we all want bondage. Before I understood freedom, believe me, I always wanted somebody else in control of my life too. I wanted somebody else responsible for my decisions. I wanted somebody else to take the blame and the full responsibility. But see, here's the thing. Is that the love of God is in absolute control of Connie's life. It is in absolute control of her relationship with God. The love of God, the will of God, is in absolute control of her righteousness. It is in absolute control of her holiness. It is in absolute control of her redemption. It is in absolute control.
It's an absolute control of her relationship vis-a-vis every other human being as well.
Absolutely, because it is established who all of these people are. Now, here is the thing, is that we're always so willing to take the will of God and say, oh, well, you know, God's in control. God is in control, and you know, what I'm going to have for breakfast tomorrow, and you know, whether I go to Ohio or go to New England, and you know, what's the will of God. But here, then we turn right around on the other foot of this issue, and we take God completely out of control on the most important issue of all, and that is redemption and righteousness and perfection in the eyes of God.
And the destination of people.
Absolutely.
After they die.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
We place every bit of that into man's will. Oh my gosh. To want to believe that God is in control of every aspect of our lives on a daily basis. That just isn't how, number one, we can stop the debate, because that just ain't the way it is.
All right, hold on for a second, okay, because I heard everything you just said, which was a lot, and we're going to get back into it, but I want to get, see, this is so important, beautiful humans. The whole issue of God's purpose in your life, the whole issue of God's control in your life, and we're open. I mean, we want to hear every point of view. I've got five other beautiful humans in the studio. I've got the Howells, George and Bonnie Howell. I've got the Benhams, Kate and Jeff Benham from Australia. I've got the Howells from Pennsylvania. I got Sean O'Halloran from down the street. And I want to know, what, given everything that you know and that you've learned and that you just heard just right now, Kate, is God in control of your life?
Well, really, the Christ is inside of you. So whatever you're feeling, whatever you're thinking, that's Him. So go with it. Your heart is good. You can trust your heart.
Yeah, but ultimately, is God in control of your life, or are you in control of your life?
I think you are, and yeah, I think God has given that to us because now the Christ lives within us. So you are free, and yeah, you're free to do whatever, and there's no condemnation, no judgment. Freedom is a wonderful thing, and sometimes we don't know what to do with it. But
All right. I know that to be true, but I want to hear what Jeff has to say. Jeff, are you there?
Yep. You know, one of the greatest things not to have is spiritual anxiety. And that's been such a big problem within Christians or whatever, is that spiritual anxiety of wondering who's in control, what's going to happen. And the wonderful thing is rest. And Kate's got a beautiful lyric in one of her songs, and it says that we are who we've been searching for. And when we find who we really are, then we can rest in that. And with Kate and I, doors open. We walk through them.
Wait.
Without effort.
Wait, time out. I know Jeff is listening to this right now. We are who we have been searching for.
Yes.
Wow.
And
you know, I could cry right now.
Yeah.
I'm sitting before five incredibly beautiful and, I must say, diverse human beings. And they're who I'm searching for. Oh, she's coming. Kate's giving me she's giving me love, Michael. She's kissing me. She's hugging me. Oh, my God, do I feel... Oh, that is good shit. Oh, I shouldn't say that.
We had given her a baseball bat.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm crying. Oh, my God. I can start speaking in tongues right now. Jeff, if you don't come and give me a kiss right now, I will be very disappointed.
No, I don't know where you've been, Glenn.
I'm in the cubbyhole back here. We are who we've been searching for.
Mm. It's a beautiful lyric.
Is that from the new album?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
from the new
my
one.
God.
And another lyric is that we are the jewel in the earthen jar. And I think that's such a beautiful lyric. And, you know, it's so simple. And there's no anxiety in it. There's nothing. There's just pure rest. When you really know who you are and what has happened. And when you're in that, then it's not trying to muster up some faith. You're not trying to prove something or trying to you know, become something which is from the outer, like we look at Adam in the garden and Eve and whatever that was. And but what was happening is that they were trying to look at something beyond who they really were. And as soon as we look beyond who we really are, then it becomes a cult. And it becomes a religion.
It becomes a cult, it becomes a religion, it becomes a cause celeb to need to cover up.
Yeah, yeah. And so, look, spiritual anxiety doesn't have to be when we just totally rest in who we really are. And it's such a wonderful thing. It's such, I find it very easy. I said to someone the other day, I can't remember when I had my last spiritual battle or my last, what was it? Spiritual warfare. I can't remember when I last said sorry and repented. It's such so long ago.
Wow.
That's a really good feeling. Really.
My last spiritual battle, that's a mouthful in and of itself. The thing that everyone is describing here is this incredible reversal that has taken place from humans trying to place faith in God so that he can be what he is, and instead God has placed his faith in us so we can be who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And he believes in us, therefore it empowers us. We in the past have been trying to empower God with our faith, and God has decided to empower us with his faith.
You know, one of the greatest things that I really learned was that because we have his faith, and if you look at the word faith, that means to convince and persuade. So I'm not trying to convince or persuade myself of anything. I am convinced by his life in me. I am persuaded by his life in me. And that's so easy because you can just sit back, not in a lazy way, but you can just sit back and allow, and, you know, we say let go and let God. Well, that's what it is. It's just letting go and let God. I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
In him. Anyway, he's Uncle George and Auntie Bonnie.
Oh, my God. I wish we had a party bus tonight, Michael. Georgie.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you too, brother.
You are. Wait. I know you got some stuff to say, but you are a sexy man.
That's it.
I'm just saying.
I would kiss you, but I'm not sure that I can give you tongue.
I'm just saying. You could. You might not.
I don't think I would like it.
Well, that's a whole different issue, and that's fair enough. But you are a sexy man. I just want to say that on record. All right. You guys, you know, there's people. I mean, there's literally people listening all over the planet right now, and will be, and will be. This thing is archived, and we're dealing with human free will, free choice. As Connie, God bless. I think that Connie was at the last convention. And she's grappling with the same issue that we've all grappled with, which is the free will of humanity. And we're saying that we have complete and utter free will. This was the freedom that Christ set us free for. And there is a segment of the redemptive community, the people that believe that all have been redeemed from Christ. And there's nobody that can appreciate more than I that believe that God is in control. And George Howell is here taking pictures as I speak.
Don't blame that on me.
I know, whatever. And Georgie, okay, what do you say, dude? What do you say to boldgrace.com? What do you say to your friends? What do you say to people that you will never meet and never have meeting? What do you say?
Well, what I say is, and the lady's name that you're talking, you said her name is Connie?
Yes, her name is Connie.
Her name is Connie? Okay. The only thing I have to say is something that I read on a Facebook page of a lady that's sitting here beside me, which is Kate's page. She has something on her page that says, "Be yourself, everyone else is taken." And that's my advice to Connie, be yourself.
Well, I think Connie would say she's being herself by saying that she wants God in control.
Well, then you know what? She needs to follow that path for a little bit longer.
All right. See, Michael, I love that.
That's
see, this is why I love George Howell, and I think he's sexy. Because, as we have on many a time on this webcast, advised people to stay in the very church, whether it be an evangelical, Baptist, Word of Faith, Mormon church, we tell people to stay in their churches, Catholic church, as long as they can.
Yeah, and stay where you are as long as you can. You know, I am not one given to change my mind quickly. There are many of these concepts of the gospel that I have ruminated over for as much as 10 years before my heart has embraced them. Now, I realize that in a teaching form, that out of 10 years of ruminating and thinking and trying to understand that, because it comes out in a form of teaching that I hope is the that the Holy Ghost is teaching people's hearts through, that people can embrace this immediately, things that has taken me 10 years more to contemplate and think about. But I'm not one given to change my mind quickly about any of these things. I can tell you that each and every one of them, of the major issues, it has been years. All of them have been years in the process of coming to conclusions. My build-up to coming to the point to where that I believe there was no such thing as sin, and that confessing my sin was actually an offense to God's grace, and coming to that point.
Wait, time out. I love that. And I know you've said it many times before, but this is so completely antithetical to the evangelical mindset.
Oh, yeah.
That confessing your sin is contrary to the cross and the grace of God.
Yeah, and even an offense to the grace of God.
An offense!
Yeah. Definitely. I certainly do believe that. But all of these things...
You just pass over that, like, you have no idea how many minds you just blew.
Well, it's mind blowing, and and I'm glad that it is mind blowing. I've had to go over these things for years and years, and I'm very grateful that people get it in a flash. But sometimes I'm a little jealous, you know, that they can get to get it in a flash and. It took me years to try to convince my brain to let go of religion and embrace truth. But that really is has been the process. But so many of these things, all of these things, it has taken a long time. So I do encourage people. I'm not sitting here trying to force somebody to change their mind. Wherever they are. Now, if they've got a question for me, I'm more than willing to answer it. But if my answers are not sufficient to change your mind, I encourage you to stay where you are. And, George put it very, very well. I'm very grateful he spoke up and said that because it brought these things back to my mind again. But we're not in the... We're not in a mission to try to force people to change their minds. I am absolutely comfortable with whatever you believe.
All right. You just said what we are not in a mission for. What are we in a mission for?
We're in a mission of simply sharing the gospel. It's to get it in the airwaves. It's to get it in people's ears, to get it in front of their eyes. And let them at least have the option. It is not with the goal of trying to force them out of the mindset they are in. I am comfortable with their mindset. It is they that have to become uncomfortable with their mindset, not me.
It's really irrelevant what their mindset is.
Yes, absolutely. And whether or not I persuade you is irrelevant
right.
to me. My goal is to share it. And that's it.
Right. And let the truth be the truth and let the... Sean's coming in over right now. Sean is. Sean's the only one who hasn't spoken yet on the webcast. Let's say hello to Sean. Hey, Sean.
Hey.
Having fun?
I'm just a little busy.
He's busy. All right. So let the truth be the truth. And we have absolutely zero agenda except to express the truth as we see it. Would that be fair to say?
Oh, I think it's not just clear to say. I think it has been absolutely evident in our communication with people, whether it has been people who have been in the meetings and had questions or people who have expressed their positions. We have not had anyone on this webcast who, in the process of expressing a different mindset or concept about the gospel than what I have, no one has left this broadcast feeling that they have been dismissed.
Well, and even people that we know disagree with our particular take on whatever, that we've invited people to participate.
Oh, absolutely.
In this webcast, some of which you have heard, some of which have opted not to participate. But, I mean, not because we did not invite them, not because we wanted to not include them. You know that we love and embrace alternate points of view to be extolled and exposed.
Absolutely.
And, we have absolutely zero problem. We have talked about criticisms that we've had and that have come across. And it for us is liberating. I mean, we're already liberated, but it is liberating. I want to talk in the last few minutes to Bonnie Howell. Bonnie, is she
Hello.
There?
I'm here.
Have you heard enough to know what's going on?
Sure.
And we don't hear much from Bonnie Howell. I mean, we've heard from Gio on years now of webcasts. We're very thankful for it. He's got his website.
My mouth is too big. That's why you don't hear from
him.
So you still can't hear from
him. Whatever. And Jeff and Kate, we love. But Bonnie, you are the person. I mean, you are the considered opinion because we don't hear from you. And there are spouses and friends and family members we can't even imagine the numbers, that are not into the gospel, are not involved in it, are not sharing the truth as they see it. And here you are, and what's going through your mind right now?
Well, to answer the question that Connie had, I'm not real deep into theological thinking and, you know, words or anything, but I can only say from my experience, I don't know if anyone has known this before, but George and I separated for a while, and at that time, we were both in the church scene, and I did what this woman was saying and believing that God was in control. And when he left, I deliver mail for a living, and it's in a rural area, I cried, and I prayed, and I sang. It was very, very emotional. I don't even know how people got their mail. And I can remember in the midst of all that, of, you know, thinking that if I prayed enough, and I begged God enough, and, you know, I praised him enough, and just did this special formula, that he was going to take care of this for me because God was in control.
Right.
And out of nowhere into my head came this thought, so what? I said, you know, I can't believe he left me. And I heard, so what? You have eternal life with me, so what? And you know, take it for whatever, you know, a personal situation like that. I mean, a lot of people could say it's emotion, it's whatever. But for me, I knew that was not where my mind was, and I don't know how that came into my head.
Right.
And I was stunned for a while, and it was like, wow, you can't be God. That's kind of heartless. And as we got back together and came on this journey of what the gospel really is, I can say that that was not the end of some of my trial. My father was cheating on my mother, and rather than deal with that, she committed suicide. And again, I had prayed to God, if this relationship he has with this other woman, you know, if it's not just a friendship, if it's more than that, please correct this, God. So as I know what the gospel is now, I had to hate God because he answered one prayer, but as far as I'm concerned, he let me down on the other one.
Right. But he didn't really answer your other prayer. I mean, what came out of your heart was completely contrary to the direction that you were praying in.
Correct.
And, Michael, I don't know if it was on a webcast or in a conversation that we had the other day, but where did that sense that Bonnie just expressed come from if it wasn't from God?
Well, it comes from our own heart because God is within.
Right, so it's literally produced from what is already resident.
Absolutely.
And even though, as Bonnie said, it is completely contrary to what we think that would be said.
Yes. Yeah, and it is God, but it is us, and that's the line that we're always wanting to draw that line. This is God, and this is us. But see, this is what the gospel has done. There is no line anymore. There is no definitive line drawn any place in the sky, in the scriptures even. There is no line drawn between humanity and God now. We are one.
Between all humanity.
Absolutely.
God.
And, we had the question about the Trinity. And what I believed about the Trinity, and that's, when I had coined the phrase a couple of years before, we had the webcast, actually, and I said, well, I believe that it's all changed. I don't believe in the Trinity. I said, I believe in the quadunity of God.
Yes.
Because now it's not three in one, it's four in one. And humanity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all one. There is no line. There is no distance. We've got, like Bonnie said, we've got Christians trying to teach us how to close this gap between us and God through obedience, through prayer, through worship, through the programs, as Bonnie very aptly pointed out. But you've got to understand, there is no line between humanity and God anymore. There is no out there when it comes to God. There is no distance. There is no separation. There is no definitive difference.
In other words, ladies and gentlemen, there's no definitive difference. Now, I pause for a dramatic effect right here, but I want you to consider what I'm about to say. There is no difference between Jesus Christ and Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yes.
You can agree to that, Michael, can't you?
I absolutely can.
I know you can, and I can too. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're way over time. We would be remiss not to let in and receive the influence and the wisdom of this next caller from beautiful Houston, Texas, the administrator of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Jeff Roberts. Jeff!
Hey, everybody.
Jeff! Everybody, Jeff!
There Yay! Was no way.
Love you, Jeff.
Kate.
Dude, you wait. Hello. Kate, you got Jeff. You got Bonnie, you got George, you got You got your fan club here, Jeff.
Not my fan club. My favorite peeps.
Yeah, well it's nice to have your favorite peeps also be your fan club.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's nice.
I know.
And I soak it all in, you know. And you know what? And don't stop, any one of you. Don't stop.
Don't stop believing.
We love you.
But I finally had to call. I called Sean. I was like, Sean, you're going to have to put me on.
No. Well, Sean has serious influence around here. I want you to know.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And you know what? I've got connections. So, hey. But anyway, part of the reason, only part, the final thing that made me call was something that Mike said. But I couldn't get over something Mike said prior to what Mike said that got me to call. You know, I talk to Mike every day, and it's
you do?
Really funny.
You talk to Mike every day?
Oh, yeah. About the most boring stuff, too, for the most part. We have some really, actually, very unboring conversations, but we have some boring stuff, too. But I have to tell you, I have kept my ear to this webcast the whole time through. I'm loving every minute of it. I'm loving listening to everyone who's spoken tonight because I love everybody who's spoken tonight. But Mike said, well, that's when you're mixing the pinto beans with the Cheerios. I lost it. I had to go outside and just take a little break there for a second. I lost it because that was classic. And I was like, you know what? Because I listen to things from time to time. People talk about Mike's little Southern accent and everything. And see, I lived in East Tennessee for half my life, and I don't hear an accent. Mike doesn't have an accent, Timmy. But when he said that, I was like, oh my God, that's definitely East Tennessee. But it was brilliant. It was wisdom. And it was hilarious, and all I could think was, I wish Matt Perry was still on the phone when he said that, because Matt's comeback would have been awesome.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, Gio.
This is George. Hey, the question was never answered, and this bothers me. All seriousness.
Well,
All joking aside, okay?
Yeah.
What has more power, beans or Cheerios?
They are equal. Don't you know that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go, Mike, go. One does not have power without the other.
Okay, I wanted to get straight on that. I really appreciate you for straightening that out for me.
Well, we're glad to
be straight
on that.
One does not have power without the other. They are joined now.
Okay.
They are not joined. Okay, the second thing that Mike said that made me call... Oh, wait a minute. No, I've lost track. But no, this whole thing about God believing in us.
Yes.
Now, this has been an ongoing, off and on ongoing conversation between Mike, me and Mike. And, I actually, one day I was like, Mike, look at this. Look at this one statement Jesus said, you know, it's like, because nobody believed in Jesus. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. And Mike's right. Yeah. He said, yeah, nobody believed enough. And I said, Mike, even that word enough is not enough for me. Nobody believed perfectly except for somebody, because Jesus said, he who believes in me, greater works will he do because I go to my Father in heaven. Jesus knew who believed in him. There was nobody here who believed in him, but somebody believed in him. And it's such a wonderful story, because that means they did a greater work, whoever he was. And that
And he was who?
And Jesus believed in himself, number one. Jesus believed in what the Father said about him. And what the Father says about him, he says about us also. But the Father believed in him. God believed in Jesus. And Jesus knew it. And greater works will he do because I go to my Father in heaven. And what did he do when he went to his Father in heaven? He took all humanity into himself and raised humanity into himself. He's God. And so, yeah, that's where our identity comes from. This is what we've been talking about for the past 30 minutes, is about our identity. And our identity, and like George Najjar says, when he thinks about his identity, he says he literally can say, I am God. Well, why can he say, I am God? It's because he who believed in him. Jesus knew there was only one who believed in him, and it was the Father. And Jesus believed what the Father said about himself, so he believed in himself too, and he was also God. And greater works would he do. What did he do? He raised us with him. And like Mike says, we are a quad unity now because he joined us with him.
So, Michael, is he who believed to do greater works, is that the God the Father?
Well, he that Jesus believed in himself, and he said he would do even greater works than this. Whoever did believe in Jesus, I think Jeff is correct here. That the only one we know for a fact, here's the scenario. Jesus came requiring that you have to believe.
Right.
Now, Jesus said a lot of things about what these believers would and would not do. The fact of it is, Jesus is the only one who fulfilled that requirement to believe. But one of the things that Jesus said was not a requirement about those to anyone that believed on him. It was was something that they would accomplish. That anyone who did believe in him, greater works would they do. Well, Jesus is everything. Jesus is not just the one believed in; he's the believer. So it would only stand
Amen.
To reason.
Keep going.
It would only he's not just the believer. He's the one that's believed in and the believer both. So if he is the believer and the one who has believed, then he has to be the one who would do the greater work also.
And he did.
And the greater work was done.
Amen. Does anybody disagree?
It doesn't make any difference.
No, it absolutely doesn't.
Exactly. It doesn't make any difference.
It is
finished.
Thank you, George.
Thank you for finishing Glenn's sentences.
Thanks, Jeffro. We'll see you soon, buddy.
All right.
There's Jeff Robertson. Ladies and gentlemen, always glad to hear from Jeff. All right, now. Normally we go 60 minutes or thereabouts. We are at 1 hour and 50 minutes. But I think it was very well warranted, Michael. We had some extremely special guests in studio tonight with Jeff and Kate Benham, Bonnie and George Howell.
Yeah.
And I'm saved all over again. You know what? To get a hug and a kiss from Kate Benham, in person? Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous.
Lucky Glenn.
Kate. All right, so all right. The first album is called Eden in Me. The second is called Back to the Garden, right?
Yep.
And the third is going to be called Revolution.
Yeah, that's right.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I cannot tell you, Kate and Jeff, the effect, for whatever it's worth to you, that it has on Michael L. Williams to hear the gospel sung back to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. My God, that blew us away. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you, Michael, you put a fork in you, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, it's... It really is unspeakable. I'm grateful beyond measure, beyond anything that I could ever say.
Go ahead.
Just tonight. I mean, you guys.
We have had so much fun, and the night is just starting, ladies and gentlemen.
You just have no way that I could express my gratitude, and just I'm sitting here, and I honestly feel like a doting father. I hate to admit that because I know that I'm admitting my age also, but I really do. I feel like a doting father.
Yeah, whatever. Jeff is about 3 months younger than you are, so I mean, whatever.
It is just amazing to have this gathering together. It really is, and
no, I know, and it's all because of you, and you know what? It's
that's,
all
because... That's no bull, Mike.
No,
it is
no,
because of
it's
you.
It's because of Mike Williams. It's not because of Jesus Christ. It's because
that's
of Mike
that's right.
freaking Williams, damn it. That's what it's because of. That's what it's because of. And here's the thing. Is Kate and Jeff are going to Houston. I actually might be going through to Houston when Jeff and Kate are there. And we're going to tear the town up. That's what we do. It's because of Mike Williams. Ha, 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 ha. It's not because of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, Kate, deal with that. Deal with that. It's not because of Jesus Christ. It's because of Mike freaking Williams. That's what I'm saying.
All right, I agree with you.
I know you do.
Well, we know the big picture is...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't know sushi did that to you.
Yeah, whatever, dude.
I'm not sure what was in that sushi tonight, but I'm sure glad I didn't eat it.
No, I'm just saying. All right, that's all we got.
Michael, I love you, brother.
There's
love
George
too,
Howell.
George.
Bonnie.
Love you. Love
there's
you,
Kate.
Love you too, Kate.
Jeff, say goodbye.
See you, young lad.
See you, young lad.
Sean.
There's Bonnie. Sean, say goodbye.
Bonnie.
Here's Sean Hellhauer.
Bye.
That's Sean. This is a party. You know, in Jewish circles, Michael, you only need 10. Are you yawning, dude?
Not me.
I heard a yawn there. You only need 10 for a group. I mean, you saw that in this Fiddler on the Roof, didn't you?
I don't remember.
Go watch the movie. George said that was a pregnant pause. We are up against it. This is a great webcast. This is, Sean looks like he's got a migraine.
Hey, I do have one more question.
Oh, George?
Is this the longest webcast in history?
No.
How long's the longest?
Longer than this, dude. Sit down.
Oh,
sit back down. Sit back down.
Oh, man. Did we at least hit a double?
Dude.
Did we at least hit a double?
We're not even close.
Not even a single.
No, just sit down.
We're not even on base.
Go to bed.
You struck out.
All right.
Okay.
There's George Howell.
Bye.
BoldGrace.com. Kate Benham, Jeff Benham from Australia. Mikey.
Yeah.
What do you think? This was fun, huh?
Oh, yeah. More than fun.
I know. We can do this again. All right. We will do it again in 1 week's time. Sean O'Halloran in studio. I want to thank him for everything that he's doing. Kate and Jeff Benham. From Australia, let's hear it, studio audience.
Yay.
And George and Bonnie Howell from Muscolati, Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know, it's not even close. But where is it? Puscatani.
Monongahela.
Puscatani. Yeah.
Monongahela.
Monongahela, yeah, whatever. Mike Williams, Jeff Robertson in Houston, Texas. Mikey, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
We had a really, really good time.
Yeah.
Want to thank George Denjar for calling in. Also, Matt Perry and Connie for emailing a very provocative question, which
yeah,
we appreciate.
Thank you, Connie.
Yeah, Connie, much appreciated, as well as Jackie Bernard. We'll do it again 1 week time. I cannot promise that we will have the star power that we have in studio tonight, but we will do it again, I promise. This is Clint Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!